Elliot Friedman. Okay, here is the scale that we are using to judge today. Zero, not a drop of alcohol, not a beer, not a taste, nothing. 10, too drunk still to answer the phone. Now, you can't be a 10, but between 0 and 9, where are you right now?
No, you know, I was pretty good last night. I was like a 3 or a 4.
Oh.
I didn't go too crazy. We stopped at a cigar bar. That was our big indulgence last night.
They have disappointed.
They have those things, hey?
Too bad.
What? Yes, they do. They do exist here in Tennessee.
Yeah. How could I... Because basically, I want to know who is the most off the rails. And I know you won't want to say.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
Can you tap dance around it? Can you just kind of make, at least put our minds to work trying to imagine who it is?
You know, I got to tell you, if there was anybody who was really off the rails last night, they weren't with me.
Yeah. Because, like, what is there to do today? There's no game today.
No, but there's, you know, you still got to appear on camera. There's, you know, I got two radio interviews to do. I got three today.
No, I understand for you, but I just mean those other Lugans.
It's got to be some deadbeat that could get hammered last night.
Yeah, there were a few, actually. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I think they were pretty, you know what, I think you got to pace yourself when you're in Tennessee. You got yesterday, you got tonight, you got Saturday after the game, you got Sunday. You could really do some damage.
Yeah, Saturday postgame might be the move, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Tonight,
because don't forget the game starts at 7 here, so it's a little bit earlier if you don't get triple overtime.
Yeah, boy, I don't want to. We've talked about. I don't want to get into like serious. Do we play UC Soros? How do you combat? PK Subban guaranteed to win. I don't want to have that conversation. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What's happening there that might be of interest other than just it's going to be a big game, game three.
Well, I mean, the city here, I mean, it, you know, I watched a bit of the local news yesterday. You know, this market is a real success story. I think to me, you know, it's unfortunate they're down 2-0, but I look at the real story here, I think, aside from the series and the way it's gone, is the market itself. You know, guys were telling me last night at the bar that they looked online for tickets, and at the, you know, right at the glass, they were 7,000 per, and, you know, it's in the lower bowl, they were 4,000 per. I think I met some fans actually from Calgary, some Canadian fans who came down thinking it would be easy to get tickets, and it isn't. And I think it's a real success story for the market. You know, Subban's thing, anything he says gets blown totally out of proportion. I don't have any problem with what he said. You should believe you're going to win. And we don't have to make like a big guarantee story about it. But I guess in the age of Messier, we've got to. You know, they've been the better team for most of the two games, but the goalie hasn't been good. And Pittsburgh's doing to him what they did to Bobrovsky and Holtby.
Yeah. I mean, I saw the stand-up you did with Amber and Kiprios. And I mean, Kiprios has been, and I think everybody has, to say that Pekarinen's been bad is not edgy or, you know, being out there. I guess it's just, what do you believe? Do you go back with him and believe that he's going to be able to give you the goaltending that he has and that you know he's capable of? Or are you seeing something, like you said, are you seeing a disturbing trend where, for whatever reason, Rene isn't able to hold up in this series so far?
Well, I think the extra day off really helps them, right? Like, because it allows Laviolette an extra day to see, okay, you know, how does he handle practice? How does he look? Does he get an extra day of work in? I think all of that is very important. I think the extra day adds a variable in there that's better for Rene. But, you know, if you look at Laviolette's history, you know, Martin Gerber and Cam Ward, they were pretty equal. You know, Michael Layton and Brian Boucher that year in 2010, they went to the final. They were pretty equal. You know, I don't know that Soros, I mean, everybody talks up Soros, like he's got a chance, he's a good prospect. But is anybody going to say that him and Pekka Rinne are equal? You know, I could see them going to him in game four if they lose again. But the other thing that really happened, I reminded Nick of this last night, I was talking to him about it, was in the Ottawa series, when Matt Murray came in for Fleury in that one game in relief, you know, Nick and Kelly were both watching it, and they're saying, oh, boy, you know, Murray's ready. He's going to take this net. There was nothing that Saros did in game two that said to me, this guy should have the net over the guy who's got you there and has had a bad playoff. Yeah, it's an awful time for a guy to be off his game, but I think the mitigating circumstances that Pittsburgh has done that with every goalie. And if I'm Laviolette, I'm taking one more shot with my guy, because I still think I've got a better chance of winning 4 out of 5 with Rene right now than I do with Saros.
Boy, it feels a lot like Brian Elliott here in round one, I'll tell you that. He was dreadful in games 2 and 3.
That Kipper made. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Yeah.
And we were lobbying, at least I was, like, look, if a guy is not playing well, mm-hmm. what in the world makes us believe he's going to turn it around? Like, if you've got 10 games, sure, ride it out. But if you lose game 3, you're buried. If you aren't going to make a change now, why would you ever make a change?
Well, it's a good question. I just think that, well, first of all, Laviolette's got big ones, man. Like, I don't think, like, if he thinks Saros is the right guy, he'll go to him. That's number one. Like, I don't think that Peter Laviolette is going to make this decision because he's risk averse or I'm sure Rene's sitting there thinking, oh my God, I finally got us here. I'd really like to have that start. You know, Laviolette doesn't strike me as an overly, a guy who would think that that's the reason I've got to make the decision. I think Peter Laviolette's going to do one thing, and he is going to make the call best on, you know, who he thinks is going to give him the best chance to win the game. And I think as a coach, that's the only decision you can make. And I don't think he's going to make this call based on past history or, you know, Pekka has been so good for this franchise. Ryan, I think he's going to make the decision for the best reason you can. And if he's starting Rene, he's doing it for one reason, because he thinks it gives him the best chance.
Can I ask you a question here? Elliot Friedman on...
That's what you're paid to do.
I know. We had Carl Alsner on the show earlier this week.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
Well, you know, he's kind of what you would expect. He would hope that there's a chance to go back to D.C., but he's realistic.
Yeah.
Chances are he's probably moving on. I asked him, what do you look for? He says, you know, basically two things. I want a place where I can... a chance to win, and what works for my family. And he's got ties to Calgary, and you know what it's like. It's a quiet time, so we just talk. Flames could use a number 4.
Big time, yeah.
Michael Stone is a UFA, the guy they brought in. Would Carl Alsner make sense? Your thoughts on Alsner, I guess, just in general, but as a UFA, would he make sense for the Flames in a 4 spot?
Well, I think he would, but the thing is, are you going to pay him like he's a number 4 guy? How many guys who are free agents, and if you look at the D this year, Alsner would be near the top of the list. How many of those guys get paid like they're a number 4 guy?
Yeah, not many.
The curious thing. Yeah, and you know what we can't wrap our heads around is we all thought Chris Russell was going to get paid last summer, and you could say that would be a number 4 slot. A couple years prior, maybe it was 3, we all thought Cody Franzen was going to get big dough, and he waited till midsummer and ended up getting shorter money, shorter term in Buffalo.
Yeah,
I can't get a sense of the market for defensemen, especially ones that sort of have ho-hum possession numbers like Russell did last year and Alsner did this year.
Yeah, you know, I think that if you take a look at the and obviously, you know, Ryan, we both read what the analytics say on Alsner, and they're not positive. I think if you are. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean to me that I think he's a bad guy to pick up. I don't believe that at all. I just think that if you're talking about Alsner as your number 4 guy, what are the chances that if you have to get him an unrestricted free agency, you're getting him to be paid like he's a number 4 guy? It's going to be a big number. And, you know, I'm sure the Flames are sitting there saying, you know, we've got Giordano, I think, for 4 more years or 5 more years at 6. You've got Hamilton for 3 more years, or 4 more years, I think, at 5.5. You know, you've got Brody, I think, for 4 more years at a really good number. You know, I think the one thing you're thinking, you know, that's the one thing about what True Living has done there, and the number one reason I felt he deserved to keep his job, he's got a lot of his guys locked in. And I just think that the number that Alsner is going to command, are you going to be able to get him at that number and have him be listed as your number 4 guy?
So I guess
That's my question.
And the one that I still don't know the answer to is, why do we know he's going to be a guy that get paid? Because we thought Russell would be, and we thought Franz would be, and neither of those guys really got paid.
Well, you know what? Then obviously, then I'm sure that they look at, but I still think Russell's going to get paid. I think it's going to work out for Russell, and it's probably going to work out in Edmonton. You know, I think the Oilers are looking at this like, depending on what numbers they have to sign Draisaitl and McDavid to, I believe there is a desire to re-sign him. And you know what? I think some guys go through the market and they say, oof, this happened to me. And now you sort of look at the world and say, okay, maybe things are going to be a little bit different now. You know, it's tricky. It's a game you always have to play. I mean, but the thing is, Ryan, you can look at situations and you can say, you know, I thought that guy was going to get paid for sure. And there's other situations you look at and you say, you know, like, there's no way that guy's going to get that number, and he gets it. So, you know, the market's a funny thing. It takes one team to say, you know, we really want that guy. And then everything changes. And I don't really know what happened with Russell last year. There were rumors that he had a 4-year deal with Toronto and it fell apart. You know, I've never really gotten to the bottom of that. The agent has denied it. He said that's not true. The market's a funny place. But I think the one thing that is going to be this year is, you know, there's not going to be a lot of room out there. You know, the league and the Players Association are going to meet in the next little bit to discuss. In the next little bit to discuss the growth factor. You know, there were agents who left the agents meeting with the Players Association who told me they thought the number, they're going to do zero. Jeez. And the reason was, you know, Vegas is coming in. There's a whole new team that's going to spend 60-something million dollars. Maybe this is the year they don't raise the growth factor. And then when I tweeted that out the other day, somebody said to me they think they're going to talk and come up with a number between 1 and 5. This is going to be a tough year for a lot of guys to gamble. And I think it adds another variable to all this. But at the end of the day, Ryan, all it takes is one team. And Carl Alsner, whatever you think of his possession numbers or not, he's a pretty good player, and someone's going to take aim at him.
Well, Chicago would love to see that escalator or inflator, whatever we call it. They're in
I
big
think
trouble.
Everybody would, except the players.
You know what? I am looking at the cap situation of the Hawks on my screen right now. Funny you bring that up. We again, looking so forward to this Vegas thing, it's kind of new for this age of Twitter and everything else. When the lists come out, what's going to happen? And already we knew that these were happening in the conversations, but word of the Blackhawks, we'll allow Trevor Van Riemsdyk to go through, but you have to trade after the fact for Marcus Kruger and his $3 million cap. Does that, I guess, can you explain to people or tell people why that would make sense? And do we see a lot of these happening with Vegas?
Well, I think that I think that a lot of teams have been having these conversations with Vegas. You know, I know that I believe like every team has, you know, had a conversation with Vegas about this. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if that Chicago scenario was true. There's obviously something to it, or it wouldn't get reported. But I think there's going to be a few like these. You know, there's been a lot. Nick has been on it for a long time that Pittsburgh and Vegas have a deal worked out where Marc-Andre Fleury has been going to Vegas. And I started to hear that more and more. For a while now, people have been telling me that Columbus is trying to do what it can to get Vegas to take the David Clarkson contract. If you take Clarkson's contract, you know, what sweetener can we put in there for you to do it? And so I think there's a lot of that going on. You know, I'm sure Anaheim's talked to them about it. I'm sure Minnesota's talked to them about it. You know, most teams do have a protection issue. So I think there's a lot of that going on. And I think there's going to be you're going to hear a lot of rumors over the next couple of weeks.
I'm just calling it up here. I know there was a story on NHL.com that talking about Ilya Kovalchuk, the quote being that he drives the bus.
Yeah.
Anything there?
Not a ton. Like, you know, there was the story last week that he was going back to St. Petersburg, and I checked into that, and somebody kind of said to me, might be a negotiation tactic. You know, the agent there is Jay Grossman, who's kind of gone quiet. And, you know, I think that's usually a sign that he's trying to work it. You know, when I was working on the fact he was coming over, you know, he didn't he didn't say a lot, but he wasn't a quote unquote dark. Now he's dark, and that says to me he's trying to work it out. But you know, a couple guys said to me they think that the Russia thing right now, while it's still happening, it's more of a negotiation tactic at this time. I think one of the biggest holdups is that potentially, I think, is that, you know, I think he wanted to go to the Rangers, and I'm not so sure that New Jersey wants to make a deal with the Rangers. So, and also the other thing too is I'm not sure the Rangers want to do it. There's a lot of talk that they want to go young and really give their kids a shot. If they bring Kovalchuk, then that it prevents, in a couple cases, probably that from happening. But I also think they probably know that New Jersey's not going to want to deal with them directly. And if the Rangers want to do that, they're probably going to have to do something else.
How much pressure is there for these guys to stay over there? I mean, I don't think we as North Americans understand it, but we do see all their best players always show up for the World Championships as if they're ordered to do so by Putin himself. I mean, I wonder how tough it is for a guy to come back over here.
Well, I think, you know what? I think that there is... I think there's always pressure for the World Championships. Like, these guys face it, and I've talked about it with GMs before. There have been times they don't want their guys to go to the Worlds, and, you know, they simply throw up their hands and they say, like, it's the pressure on them is pretty intense. That means a lot to Russia. Now, this year, Tarasenko didn't go, so maybe it's changing a little bit. But there is, and, you know, next year, with the NHL not going, you know, Russia's the favorite. Like, they should win it. They should have the best team. If you look at the guys who are going to be in Russia, you know, they're going to have Datsyuk's going to play next year. They're going to have so Slava Voynov's going to be there. They're going to have a really good team. They're probably going to – they on paper, they are the favorite. And I'm sure – now, Kovalchuk and the Russian team, they've had a bit of a strained relationship over the past couple of years, which has added a level to this that do they really care if he plays or not. But I do think that generally, Ryan, yes, they look at next year as their year, and they would like their best players, as many of them as possible, to be there. I think one of the teams that's sort of feeling it out is Columbus. They've got a young defenseman. I can't remember it's either Gavrilov or Gavrikov. It's one of the two. They really want him to come over next year, and Russia really wants to keep him. They want him for the Olympics, and there's pressure on him to stay. That's a situation where the pressure to stay could affect a guy's ability to come over to North America.
Before we let you go, not so much a prediction, but what do you expect? The Predators, that home crowd, they've been good enough to win games 1 and 2. Thoughts on game 3?
I think that, you know, Pittsburgh was going to have to weather the storm. You know, it's going to be crazy. That it's an awesome atmosphere. I don't know who's singing the anthem yet, but I'm sure it's going to be somebody big. That there's going to be a free Alan Jackson concert outside the arena. They're expecting 50,000 people outside the building on the street. It's going to be nuts here. And, you know, the one thing about the Penguins, I think we all know they can handle anything, but this will be a challenge. They're going to have to handle the first 20 minutes and see if they get out of there alive.
Will you be stuffing any catfish down your pants?
No, you know, I'm not a big catfish guy. Like, it's funny, like, you know, I know someone really well who's really a healthy eater, and they find catfish disgusting. They're like, don't go anywhere near those things. They're like a bottom feeder of the sea. And, you know, I'm not really a big catfish guy. That guy who got that catfish vacuum sealed in those compression shorts, he shouldn't have been charged. They should have put up a statue of that guy. Now, nobody else should do it. But that guy doing that, like, that's right out of university stuff that we used to pull.
Are they going to be, like, they'll be handing out catfish at the door when you walk in? Like, they're going to be cleaning up catfish at every whistle.
I want to see the person who drives over them with the truck just try and flatten the head.
That's
the job I want.
Get it in his compression shorts. Sad to hear that you're sober, but enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up on Monday.
All right, guys. Take care.